Lighting the Void. I'm your host, Joe Roop. It is Thursday night, March the 9th. And tonight, we're bringing back Mr. Joe Cerletti. He's going to come on the program tomorrow night. We're going to have Chad C. Meek on. It's been an interesting week. And you're really going to dig tonight's story. Joe has an interesting story to tell us about an episode that just happened to him. And some more. Well, I don't want to give it away. But you can check out our website at lightingthevoid.com or check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/lightingthevoid and at lightingthevoid on Twitter. Remember, this is a live show for all you podcast listeners. Come on in over here and jump in the Spreaker chat room with us and hang out. Thank you all over on TuneIn, TalkStream Live, iTunes Radio, and all the other directories that you're listening live on. I can't thank you enough. So, in the news, I don't know if you guys heard the Blink 182 lead singer has got a book coming out. It's called Secret Machine, spelled S-E-K. Secret Machines, that's right. And he's going to reveal some hidden stuff with the emails that he was emailing Hillary and all this other stuff. You can look that up on just pretty much any site right now. He says he's got some news to tell us, and he's going to be bringing the disclosure. I don't know about that, but here's the thing. The man that's going to be on the show tonight, I think, could be one of those people too. And it's pretty interesting, some of the stuff that he talks about. And the episode that happened to him recently, I think you're really going to find interesting, because it's not something that's like where you tell a story about something that happened to you 10 years ago. This just recently happened, and he hit us up on the web, and it's pretty freaky, man. So I don't really have much any more house cleaning to do. There's a lot to talk about, and so yeah, that's what we're going to be talking about when we come back, guys. So stick around. We'll be right back with Joe Cerletti. All right, and we're back. In all honesty, I got to tell you, you know, I had to re-record the intro to this episode because just, it's so crazy when I do episodes with Joe. Just as soon as I got done, a storm hit, lightning hits, studio goes down, and I lost, I think, the first, when I was editing, I'm out of the first segment of the audio, which was the news and stuff. So that's why I'm going to replay that on Friday night. And yeah, pretty interesting evening. I'm going to bring on Mr. Cerletti. So let's start the show here. Joe Cerletti is the host for the upcoming program Zero Dark Radio here on KTLK The Fringe FM. He will be interviewing retired CIA pilot John Lear for his first interview. In 2014, after tracking down his birth father to Massachusetts, he found out his biological uncle was heavily involved in the Zodiac Killer investigation. His uncle was the ranking detective at the Lake Herman Road crime scene in Vallejo and had a suspect who was the only man with a cryptography code training in the military on the very long list of potential suspects. And we'll talk about that during the show, too. Joe will be featured on the season finale, How the World Ends with UFO hypnotherapist Lori McDonald on March 19th at 9 p.m. Central Time, 10 p.m. Eastern, discussing how we can save the planet from the ruling elite. Again, his YouTube channel is Zero Dark Radio. He currently resides in San Francisco Bay Area and runs his own medical cannabis delivery dispensary featured on Weed Maps. He has an immense interest in Special Forces military history, espionage history, and counterterrorism history. He has been featured on Project Camelot with Kerry Cassidy, Australian show Soul Life with Solretta and Taria, as well as Vesola, the number one Greek UFO channel on YouTube. Joe will be featured on the season finale, How the World Ends, which, again, is going to air on March the 19th at 10 p.m. Eastern. So, Joe, why don't you tell us about this incident? I'm just going to give the first part of it away. You had sent Dave a message, and then after that sent me a message about how you were on the phone trying to talk to Mr. Lear, and you had to actually call him from a different line, and then a man approached you and I guess asked you if you was recording. Can you tell us how that went down, man?
Like I said, I was broadcasting on Instagram. I said, oh my God, there's someone pulling up right now. I put the phone down and immediately started driving away because my alarms were going off. There was something suspicious about to happen here. This guy had his lights off. He appeared to be in a, I want to say a blue or a green Honda Accord, probably a 1989 or a 1990 Honda Accord. I start driving away. I pick up my phone again to say, look, I'm being followed right now by this guy. I look in my rearview mirror. He's making a U-turn with his lights off. I look at my phone. The connection was terminated, so the live broadcast was not going on anymore. I did not terminate that live broadcast. During this whole 30 minutes, the connection did not get terminated either. So that was in itself extremely bizarre and extremely coincidental that the second this guy started pulling up, my signal was disrupted. I'd like to also remind the listeners that while I was on the phone with John, someone was interfering with this new phone number that he had. So whatever was going on, these people have the capabilities to tap into electronic signals.
Yeah, I just had to take down my live broadcast on Spreaker and reboot it. It was all jacked up.
Just now?
Just now, yeah.
Well, there you go. Has that ever happened, Joseph?
Yeah, it's happened on Spreaker, but I do real close to make sure that doesn't happen. And, you know, I've learned some tricks with Spreaker too. They have a software and I'm just not going to use it anymore. I'm going to use their web broadcast console like Jimmy Church does. I seen him. That's what he uses. And he probably doesn't use it for a reason. I'm not saying they're not messing with it, but the last time I talked to you, it was doing the same thing, you know? So there you go.
That's extremely interesting. So as I said, I start driving away immediately. I look in my rear view. This guy's making a U-turn, well, starting to head towards me with his lights still off. My live broadcast got terminated. I start edging, nearing the edge of my neighborhood. The guy still has his lights off, and I say to myself, if this guy's really following me, he's going to do something if I make a U-turn right now. He'll keep following me. I go to make a U-turn, and this man with his lights off in the car cuts across the center divide in the street in my neighborhood, blocks me in. I immediately get out of my car with my hands like, what's going on here? I start walking towards his car, and the first thing this man says is, have you been recording? And the way I just said that, have you been recording, does no justice to the, I want to say, authoritative tone that this man had.
What does this dude look like?
I can give you a perfect description of the man. It was dark, but he was Hispanic. He had not a military haircut. It appeared to be a law enforcement haircut. I don't know why I want to say that, but that's just what it looked like. This guy had a law enforcement style haircut. He says, have you been recording? And I said, yes, I have. I've been doing a live broadcast on Instagram. Is there a law against that? And basically he keeps pushing me about recording, and I said, dude, this is not normal here. I don't know. You need to tell me who you are right now. And I should also mention, after he asked, how are you recording? And I asked, who are you? His whole body language changed. The look in his face was like, dude, just don't even go there. That was one of the first things that happened when I said, who are you? What's going on here? Who are you? Why are you doing this? He didn't answer the question. He just said, don't worry about it. I live here. Which was, the tone of his voice, man, the story I'm telling you just literally does no justice. The tone of his voice was total BS. Don't worry about it. I live here. You shouldn't be recording. I again ask, who are you? What's going on here? Why are you blocking your, and I pointed out to him, your car went across the center divide. You're blocking me in right now. This is not normal. This is bizarre. And I said, this is not 1932 Germany.
He had to give you a reason, though. Did he not give you a reason why he approached you like that?
He said, he kept answering my questions with questions. Right. Which is, it's funny that you ask that. I haven't really thought about that. That's typical of intelligence people, of spies, of people in the deep government work. They love to answer questions with questions.
Yeah. But you would think if he wanted to, if this guy wanted to not, you know, appear to be some kind of agent or undercover dude or whatever, he would at least act like he's suspicious of you for other reasons.
Exactly. So I said, there's no law against what I'm doing. I said, I've never seen you in this neighborhood. I have lived here 5 years. I have never seen you. I have never seen this car. This is not 1932 Germany. And when I said this is not 1932 Germany, he gave me one of the dirtiest looks I've ever seen. He climbed back in his car and drove off with his lights off. And that was it.
So he said, all right, here, let's go back a little bit just for a second on this, because this is crazy, man. What were you doing? I guess I missed it when he approached you. Were you walking to your car, walking across the street? Was he staring at you, noticing you were doing something? I mean, it's almost like he just appeared out of nowhere.
He did. That's actually exactly what happened. I didn't see this guy coming until he was probably 20 feet in front of me and literally about to cross over the divide. It looked like he was about to pull right next to my driver's side, this man. He was about to basically park parallel to me. And it looked like, and again, I didn't give him time to do it, but it looked like his intentions were, this man pulling up with his lights off, his intentions were to pull up parallel to me super close so that my driver's door couldn't open. That was what appeared to be his intentions. I didn't give him the chance to do that. Now, I want to make a note. I was in an open space area. It also, and I have no way to prove this, but I had the strangest feeling that he was honing in on the broadcast signal. That I don't know why I think that, but that was just the feeling I got when this guy was slowly driving towards me with his lights off. It was like, dude, this guy's like honing in on me right now. His lights were off. The connection got the broadcast got terminated. Just 30 minutes before, I had a telephone conversation with John being basically censored. I was super spooked. Super spooked. It took me a good 3 days to not have my nerves come back to normal. Nothing has happened since that night. There's been no one following me. There's been nothing like that.
Huh. But John Lear, you haven't heard anything from him about not doing your show or anything like that. He's still coming on your show, right?
He's still coming on the show. When I was on the phone with him, I asked John, "What's going on here? Are you accidentally pressing?" Before I even figured out that the person that was pressing these buttons was doing it at specific points of the conversation, I said, "John, what's going on? Is that you pressing these buttons?" Very nonchalantly, John responded, "No, my phone has been tapped for the last 2 weeks. It's been so bad I had to get a new phone, and it's still going on my cell phone." Man, so these people were tapped into his cell phone.
Maybe that dude from Blink-182 is about to drop the bomb on some people. Maybe there is some real disclosure about to come out, and they're trying to tie it up on every end. I don't know, man. But just for some dude just to appear out of nowhere and say, "Are you recording? Are you broadcasting?" Like
he asked that a good, yeah.
If I was a, I would think, okay, if I worked for the government as a special agent and it was my job to make sure that you weren't doing or saying something that you should be doing, I'm not so sure I would walk up to you and ask you if you're recording or broadcasting. You know what? You didn't answer him, though. I wonder if he was asking you about right at this moment, like while I'm asking you this question.
You know what? I think so. That's what I do. I do think so. But then again, this guy, it seemed he had the capability to terminate the conversation. But he may not have known if there were other microphones hidden in the car, cameras in the car. Very good point, Joseph.
I think he was worried about, because if you would have said, no, I'm done broadcasting, dude, you might be a missing person right now.
So not only that, Joseph, correct, that is totally true, but he would have had a very easy time pulling up next to me. I don't know what, shooting me with a silencer, tasing me and throwing me in the trunk of the car and taking my car and throwing me in the trunk of his car and driving away. When I drove away, I think that really put a hitch in whatever they had planned. Jeez. I don't know if they had anything planned. But one last little note I'd like to make here. This man pulled up a good 30, 45 minutes after I was broadcasting. I was talking about Lawrence Livermore Labs, which is a local top secret, I want to say top secret base right around the corner from here.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I talk about that place, weird stuff happens. So this man showed up 30 to 45 minutes after the broadcast, which is more than enough time for him to have come from any local military base in my radius. It's just like the perfect – it's the perfect amount of time.
You must have
the car he was driving.
You must have said some keywords, bro. You must
I
have
think
said,
so.
Like, okay, you must have said the magic three keyword phrase that triggers them to hone in on your cell phone or whatever, you know?
Joseph, I have never been so spooked. I really haven't. I really have not. Of all of the things that I've been through in my UFO investigations – right. I almost got hit by a car after doing my Project Camelot interview. Someone tried to run me down with a car. A woman in sunglasses, very well dressed, driving a same type of car, just a piece of junk. This was about maybe 24 hours after my Project Camelot interview. That didn't even cover the fear that was put into me that night. I don't know what it is, but the conversation with John being censored and then this man showing up, the broadcast being terminated, and him asking, are you recording, in an authoritative law enforcement type tone. Absolutely bizarre. Nothing has happened since. My phone has been fine. John is still going to be doing the interview.
Dude.
But that's what happened.
I have never met anybody that, I mean, okay. So just so you guys know, when this happened, all right. I've heard a lot of stories. You know I'm a skeptic, Joe, right? You know that. When you sent that video so he sent a video to me and Dave on Facebook, freaked out of his mind, man, because he's been trying to set this interview up with Lear on his first show, and he's got the interview. He couldn't call a certain phone because one of them was tapped or whatever, so you're trying to call him on a different phone. Next thing I know, Joe Cerletti sends me and Dave a video, and you could see in his eyes were dilated from adrenaline because, you know, I'm like this human lie detector, man, you know. Something freaky definitely happened to you, dude. Like, I'm almost kind of scared for you a little bit, because if that happened, they're definitely going to be listening to you from here on out, and probably all of us. Who knows? You know?
Correct. Correct.
Thanks a lot, Sir Letty. You got him on us now. No, No, but I appreciate that. If that ever happens again, dude, the first thing you need to do is tell us, you know, I mean.
Go loud.
Yeah, keep that phone on you. You know, Dave talks about, you know, covering his camera up with tape. I get it now. I mean, keep that phone on you, dude, and have a magic button that'll go live as soon as you hit it, just in case something happens, you know. Now, I'm curious on this show that you're going to be on. What channel is that going to be on, by the way? Is it going to be on, like, satellite or Netflix? It's going to be on regular TV, isn't it?
You should be able to look up. It is going to be across the country on all providers, on all digital cable providers. It's on the new military channel. For your listeners that are familiar, yeah, it's now called American Heroes Channel. It's basically just military subjects. This is going to be the season finale of the show called How the World Ends. And if you want to look up on the internet, I'm trying to look it up right now. You can look up online American Heroes Channel Finder, and you will be able to find what channel it's on in your local area with your cable provider. It's a Discovery Channel network. It's owned by Discovery Communications. So, you know, there's another thing right there, Joe, that they may not be too happy about. I've got this show coming up. I've got this Lear interview coming up.
Yeah. If they bring this up during the show, I don't know. They might bring that up during the TV show. That would be interesting to find out if they want you to be, because you never know where they got their little claws in. And I would think that they have some influence over the former military channel. I mean, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Not really the host, because they wouldn't tell the host anything. They would make the host think that nothing's going on, but I'm sure they have their own way of, you know, doing something. And shift happens and saying we need to start encrypting our connections. Yeah, no doubt. Because I'll run an internet radio network with Dave. It wouldn't take much, you know, to take it down, and that's a fact. I mean, I've got a firewall, but dude, it just seems like no matter how smart we get with firewalls and stuff, there's always somebody smarter, and you got to think the military has them employed for sure.
That's right.
You know.
So, you know, this really happened. It took me a good 3 days to get my nerves back. You can tell the listeners right now, have I ever sent you a video like that?
Oh, no, definitely not. No, I was talking to Dave when you sent it to me. We were both like, man, what is this? You know,
and I was honest to God scared.
But yeah, man, I would be too, you know.
I was face to face with this guy.
You might remember last time I talked to you about getting some kind of taser or something, you know?
Yeah. I didn't have anything on me at the moment, but where he confronted me, it would have probably been a little too public. There probably would have been a struggle. I don't think there would have been evidence is what I'm trying to say. And it would have been too sloppy for him to have done something then and there. I don't think he was expecting me to get out of my car and walk towards him.
Yeah, I don't either.
I think that surprised the hell out of him, actually.
You went dead straight at him, huh?
Dead straight at him, but you only get one of those. Next time, probably me be more prepared. He will probably be more prepared, or whoever. Hopefully it never happens again. I don't want it to happen again. That was just too much to deal with. It, honest to God, was just one of the most stressful few days of my life. It really was. My nerves were shot after that incident. I mean, you know, seeing a UFO and going through all this is one thing. But being confronted by the human element of this is a totally different thing.
Yeah, dude, I think something's about to, I think we're, I know you, we keep hearing this disclosure, but I think we're on the verge of something. Because like I was saying before the show, I mean, the lead singer, you ever listen to that band, Blink-182, or did you ever listen to them?
Absolutely. Aliens Exist is one of my favorite songs.
Dude, this guy is just like you, man. And he's wrote a book that is really dug into it. It's called Secret Machines, but it's spelt with the Egyptian god, you know, the Secret Machines. And he's interviewed I don't know how many people, and those emails to Hillary. There's emails they found back from the military to him, and now he's saying he's going to bust this thing wide open. And now you got you talking to Lear, and Lear's been saying this stuff for, man, I don't know how long, you know. I think it's about to slip through the cracks, and now you got Trump as president, right? Bound to do
That's
something
correct.
Stupid.
And I don't know if your listeners your listeners may have missed this. George W. Bush was on the Jimmy Kimmel program last week. Jimmy Kimmel asked him, dead center of all these cameras, live on national television, millions of eyes watching him, asked him, did you ever look through the secret UFO files? Watch the video for yourself. George Bush, you watch his body language. His body language tensed up just like this guy did when I said, who are you? The man that confronted me. Same thing. George Bush got spooked by the question. Did you ever look at the UFO files, the secret UFO files? Watch the video for yourself. This is last week. George Bush says, I can't go there. I can't talk about it. I'm not going to tell you. He said, my two daughters asked me the same question about UFOs. Mm. Jimmy Kimmel said, could you tell your daughters what was in those files? George Bush, straight dead answer, no.
Wow. I've never seen that. I got to be honest with you.
Yes.
Never saw that one.
It was last week, brand new. Brand new. It just happened last week, live on TV. He also, I don't know when this one was, but he did the same thing to Barack Obama, Jimmy Kimmel, Barack Obama, President of the United States.
Right.
Mr. Obama, have you ever looked at the UFO files? Mr. Obama, I'm sorry, Jimmy also said, because if I was president, that would be the first thing I would do is go, after I get my hand off the Bible, I would run to the White House, not walk, run. And I would open up the files about Area 51, UFOs, and I would figure out what happened. Obama responds with a joke. He says, that's why you'll never be president. Everybody starts laughing. Jimmy keeps pushing. He says, no. I want everybody to know, and I want you to know, Mr. President, this is being recorded right now, multiple cameras. We're going to look at your facial expressions, every twitch, every movement, every eye shift, and we're going to research the hell out of this. Did you look at the UFO files? Obama, and while Jimmy's saying this, you hear Obama say under his breath, oh, no. You could tell that it was causing him stress. Obama, dead straight answer. I can't talk about that.
Dude, he went. I mean, not to underplay what you're saying at all, but he's right, is he not? Wouldn't every president, even if you're just a idiot, would be the first thing you would do? I know that's what I would do. Definitely.
Joe, your voice is kind of breaking up there.
It's just Skype, dude. You know.
Okay.
But yeah, that would definitely be the first thing I would do.
Yeah, absolutely. One note I'd like to make to your listeners, and Jimmy even said it on, I believe, the George Bush interview. You guys can go look this up right now. Whatever you're doing, go look it up. He said to Bush, you're not the president anymore. You can do whatever you want. Bush responds, yeah, that's true. But I'm not going to go there. I'm not telling you nothing.
Wow.
He was cute about it, but watch the video for yourself. The whole thing lasted a minute. And what's extremely interesting I was doing a live Instagram thing, talking about something that happened to me back in the seventh grade, which is basically why I've always been so interested in this stuff, how this whole thing started for me. I'm not going to mention his name, but my old basketball coach, out of respect for what he did for this country, how he served this country, my old basketball coach, which was a father of a kid that I went to school with, worked for the FBI Joint Terrorism Task Force, the JTTF, which is the Counterterrorism Bureau or Division of the FBI here in San Francisco. He was my basketball coach. This was in 2002, 2003. This is 2 years after 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
I asked him, where's Bin Laden? He gave it to me. Dead straight answer. Somewhere in Pakistan. Now, I would ask him, have you ever been to Area 51? Do you know what's going on at Area 51? Tell me about Area 51. Every time I would mention Area 51, his body language would change. He would get tense. He would say, I can't talk about that. That sort of answer, just kind of a dodgy answer. I'm going to make a note again. He told me where Bin Laden was, roughly, somewhere in Pakistan. He just gave that to me. Somewhere in Pakistan. Now, we can verify 15 years later, since he told me this somewhere in Pakistan, that is indeed where they found him. And I was convinced he was somewhere in Africa or off the continent somewhere. Nope. He said, no, somewhere in Pakistan.
Yeah, but didn't a lot of people think that, though? I mean, there was a lot of people that said that, you know, that he's somewhere in Pakistan. I mean, I'm not saying
anything against the
coach. Well, no, you're right.
Not in 2003.
Not in 03. That's a good point.
Not in 03. This 9/11 was still fresh in our minds. Like, this was extremely recent. Somewhere in Pakistan. He just gave that to me, okay? He wouldn't answer about Area 51 until, I don't know when, it must have been at the end of the season. Somehow, he must have been in a good mood. I have no idea. Coach, I pushed him again. Coach, can you tell me about Area 51? He sighed. I can't tell you about it, but I will tell you this. If you knew what was going on down there, he said, you would have nightmares for weeks, and you would have trouble sleeping for the rest of your life.
What do you mean by down there? Down there.
What is that? Think about it.
Down, like...
Is he referring to the underground facility?
Is he talking about inner earth or some shit? Like inner earth down there?
He, take it however you want to take it. We can. I can personally verify because this was a personal experience for me. He told me where Bin Laden was in 2003. 10 years later, that's where they found him. Damn near 10 years later. That is where they found him. He was telling me the truth about that, which was one of the biggest secrets in our country, especially at that time. Area 51. That's what he told me. So take it however you want, but that's what happened. And it's funny because similar reactions out of the U.S. presidents. I can't talk about it. I can't talk about it. I got a little bit out of my coach, but it's just they have some sort of leverage, not only leverage, but earth-shaking leverage over these men and women that know something, pieces of the puzzle. He said, I can't tell you what's going on down there, but if I did, you would have nightmares for weeks and you would have trouble sleeping for the rest of your life.
How can somebody say something like that and then not? Were you not begging him after that to please tell you what he's talking
about? I'm sure I was. I'm sure I was. But I mean, you can use your imagination. Use your imagination.
Well, look, Sir Letty. Look, I'm thinking. You know, you're about to do this show. I know you're passionate about, you know, taking the lid off this thing and really doing some. I know you're not just going to run a propaganda show or I need attention show. I know how passionate you are about this, right? And, you know, the fact that you're business type. And what I'm trying to say to you, what I was trying to say to you before in the beginning was this. Be careful, man, because I'm not saying you're an easy target, but they're probably, if all of what you're telling me is true, and it definitely sounds like it is, they're waiting, probably waiting on you to make a mistake. You know, they're going to want to lock you up, shut you up, or whatever. So, and this is what happens to a lot of different people, you know?
Absolutely. I think about that every day, Joseph, and I understand the risks. That's why I try to be as respectable as possible for, you know, about this. But there is extreme risks because there's no question here. I have touched on some extremely sensitive topics with Lear, talking about Livermore Labs, talking about Area 51. I have touched on some sensitive topics here that have caught some attention. I've been receiving strange emails, Joseph, from overseas. One of the men, he claims it's a man from, I believe, I'm going to be honest with you, I try to ignore it, but this guy keeps blowing up my email and my Google Plus, knows my name. I mean, that doesn't surprise me that he knows my name. He keeps begging me to reply to him, this guy overseas, Joe, please reply. I'm terrified that if I respond to him, the FBI is going to come knocking and say, oh, you're talking to a, you know, you're communicating with some sort of terrorist.
This isn't a guy trying to get you to do a money scheme or something. This is a guy trying to talk to you about something he's witnessed or has he mentioned anything? Okay.
So this guy just blows up my emails, blows up my Google Plus. He sends me UFO videos. These UFO videos seem legit. I'll tell you that right now. But I have not given this guy time of day. I will tell you that when I did my Project Camelot interview, after the person tried to hit me with a car, that week I was receiving phone interference and overseas emails from strange people. Very strange people. Very pushy. Very pushy. It's just something to be very, very wary of. I don't know. Maybe that's a little paranoid, honestly, but I try very hard to not get set up like that.
Yeah,
I do.
I bet it does make you a little paranoid. I mean, I was listening to your YouTube test.
Sure.
You know, I was in there and you were like, man, they might be watching us. And I typed in, you know, nobody's watching you. You're just paranoid. Just, you know, LOL, whatever. But in all fairness, man, I mean, paranoia is paranoia until something really happens. And then what do you call it? You call it truth, right?
It's reality. It's a reality. It's a risk now, Joseph. This I'm in deep now. I'm in the ball game. I'm in the major leagues now. This affects my life. This affects my safety potentially, my freedom potentially. This affects everything.
And you're certain that this guy that approached you had to have been military, right? I mean, was he like real fit?
So
big. Dude,
yes, he was. He was. Yes, he was. But I have experience, as I may have said in the last interview, I was extremely close to becoming a 911 dispatcher. So I have a cool amount of experience in the law enforcement field. training, experience, know-how. This guy had a law enforcement vibe to him. Whether it was federal government or whatever, he had a law enforcement cut to him, tactics to him. I don't know. Maybe he's military police. Who knows? We could play the guessing game all night, but I will tell you, this guy had law enforcement vibes to him. Law enforcement, just everything about him was law enforcement. It seemed law enforcement experience, law enforcement training of some sort. More than military. Now, could he be involved with the military? Yes, absolutely. But this guy was just a law enforcement type. That same hour, the phone connection was getting terminated. So was this guy a cop? Maybe, if he had the capabilities to tap into John Lear's phone 2 weeks before and then disconnect my broadcast, sure, maybe. But this guy was connected. This guy was involved. I've driven up and down my neighborhood every day since this incident happened. I have not seen that car.
No sign of it. I was going to ask you that.
One sign of it, Joseph. Not one. I have been searching high and low for this car. It's simply not here.
We need to get you a sketch artist, man. Draw what this. Get somebody who can draw what this dude looks like.
And you know, here's the other thing. It was dark. It was perfect. This was played out so perfect. Every aspect of it, except for the fact that I drove away. You know what I'm starting to think here? This just flashed in my mind. They were probably hoping that I would be looking down at my phone and not notice the man with his lights pulling up right next to me. That was probably what they were hoping for. They were probably hoping that I would just be staring at my phone, that he could have just rolled up right next to me with his lights off, and God knows what would have been next.
Yeah, and Shift happens in the chat room makes a good point. A lot of times, you know, maybe the whole point of the thing was to scare you, you know, because
yes,
paranoia can get totally out of control, make you do crazy things. And I'm almost certain that if they've done this to people, that's exactly how they've done it. Just a bunch of mind tricks, right? Because it's much easier to do that than try to covertly hit you with a dart or something, you know, where everybody can just point their finger and say, man, this guy's crazy, you know? And
no, you're 100% right.
And I'm not saying get out of the cannabis business. For the love of God, never do that. But I'm just saying, you know, just keep an eye out. Watch your P's and Q's by the law and everything, because I've got a funny feeling they're going to be after just some little paperwork, just something stupid, you know, that makes no sense whatsoever, and try to grab you for something. You know what I'm saying, man? I'm not trying to enhance your paranoia, but damn it, you know, I think your show is going to be great. And the last thing I need, and I know I'm being selfish about this, is to lose a really good show host, you know?
I'm doing it.
That's the last thing I need.
Well, thank you to, I believe you said his name was Shift in the chat room.
Yeah, it's Gigi, I believe, the host of Shift Happens, yeah.
Well, thank you, Shift. I would like to say what you just said is the most likely reason for this visitation, intimidation. To make me look crazy and to discredit me. And I'm going to be honest with you. That video I sent you was half crazy. It was.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you right now. Hasn't happened since. It took 3 days, damn near. 2-3 days for my nerves to come back to normal. That terrified me. It really did. It shook me up. I honest to God believe, Shift, that is the most likely reason for that visit. Intimidation, to drive me over the edge of paranoia.
Right on, brother.
But they failed. They failed.
Well,
it's gonna take a little more than that.
I think you're pretty headstrong too, man. I think you are, and I know this show is gonna be something special. And we're planning on doing it on Sundays, and I'm hoping Wednesdays. I'm hoping, you know, I would play you every night of the week if you could, but we all got lives, you know that. And we're going to keep an eye out for more show hosts like you and stuff, man. We want to, and I remember Shaletti sent me a message, said, "I'm ready to blow the lid off this thing." Like, you're ready to bust this thing wide open, dude. You want to be the Columbo of this thing, don't you?
Absolutely.
That'd be great.
I'm going to tell you, ever since I talked to my basketball coach about Area 51, there's just something about it. Like, I can't let it go. I can't let it go. I've had experiences with UFOs. I'm thinking about the UFO right now. I haven't even told you that story, Joseph. I believe it was October of 2015.
We got to take a break, and I don't want you to get too deep into that and then cut you off, because that would be awful. So,
yeah, absolutely. Man,
when we come back, we'll talk about that, because I haven't heard this one yet. Can't wait to hear
it. It's a good one.
Stick around, guys. We'll be right back with Joe Cerletti. All right, we're back. I had to do some technical stuff during the break. Goodness gracious. Just making sure that you guys couldn't hear us talking while we were chatting during break. The phone lines are open, and we, in fact, might do a little bit of overtime, because I know the Fade to Black people are over there, and they might want to come over after the show. Who knows? So we might do that. But the call-in number is 831-777-8643. That's 831-777-VOID. If you've got any questions for Mr. Cerletti or myself, or if you just want to call in and tell us how terrible we are, I don't care. I just want to hear your little voices out there. So, Joe, before we went to break, you were talking to us about a UFO experience you had, and I kind of cut you off. So go ahead, brother. Keep going with it.
Yeah, absolutely. It was in October of 2015, and to date, this is probably one or two, off the top of my head, of the only UFO sightings I've ever actually had consciously. It was in the bay. It was flying over the Suisun Bay, not the Suisun Bay. It was over the body of water near Pittsburgh, California, or Bay Point. And if you look up Bay Point right now, Bay Point UFO, there was actually a major UFO landing right around the corner from where I live. Back in the 70s, Dr. J. Allen Hynek, it was so big and fascinating and spectacular, this UFO landing back in the 70s, Dr. J. Allen Hynek came to investigate it. So there is some serious UFO history already in this area that I never found out until my sighting. I was taking my dog out to go do her business. I looked up in the sky, and what I saw, there was no questioning. It was an out-of-this-world engineered craft just floating. Maybe, I want to say, no more than a quarter mile away. This thing was bigger than the moon in the night sky from about a quarter mile away. It had radiating spheres of the most pure gold color I have ever and will probably ever see in my life. Glowing. These spheres. And it looked like a wedding cake, a saucer with these spheres around it, glowing pure, the most pure gold color I have ever and probably will ever see around this craft. After thinking about it, I'm convinced that these spheres were somehow manipulating gravity, and that's why they were glowing the color they were glowing. lasted about 30 seconds, and then it just vanished. My dog started acting strange during the sighting. She stood right by my side. You could tell she was unnerved. The craft disappeared. I reported it the next day because I was so blown away by what I had seen. And every time I stop and think about that gold color, it's just, there's no questioning. This thing was out of this world. It was from some, I don't know, higher dimension, some other planet. But what I saw and those colors of gold that this craft was glowing, I will never forget. As a matter of fact, if you look up right now, Billy Myers, I happened to see a picture of one of the crafts that he took a picture of. One of the photos has, it looks exact, look up wedding cake UFO. If you look that up on Google, that is damn near exactly what I saw in the night sky.
Wedding cake UFO?
Look it up. Your listeners can look it up. That's what I, how I would describe what I saw. And interestingly enough, when I looked up wedding cake UFO online, Billy Myers caught a picture of one of these things back in the 70s. And to go back to John Lear says, oh, that's a totally real story, the Billy Myers thing. So I'll never forget it. It was the most pure, I want to say, I'm almost dared to say the word angelic. This gold that was radiating off, there must have been a dozen spheres just around this craft or more. One row and then another row. And then another row, bigger and then smaller, smaller, almost like a wedding cake would look. And there was these gold spheres glowing in angelic, I want to say angelic, color of just pure light, gold. A gold I have never seen and probably will never see again. It was amazing, Joseph.
But as far as the Billy Meyer thing, I'm not saying your story is not true, but they have largely debunked this thing, like the wedding cake. I know what you're talking about. I remember it because it looks like it's a almost like an ornament on it, you know.
That's what it looked like in the night sky too, and it's just a huge coincidence, Joseph, that if it is debunked or whatever, he was right on. That's exactly what I saw.
I see what you're saying. So you saw the same thing that he's saying, looked, no matter who debunked it or what you saw looked like that is what you're saying.
It did. It really did. It was pretty damn close. It was pretty damn close.
Yeah, I was watching one the other night. And I forget the name of it, but it was at a consciousness convention in Florida last year. And I don't know if you ever saw that, but it was those two humongous copper orange lights that lit up the sky. And then when they zoomed in on it, they were just like geometrical figures, you know, that there were planes and battleships and all kinds of stuff that caught. And I can't think of the name of the place in Florida. If anybody knows, let me know. But that was pretty convincing.
You talk about the Gulf Breeze sightings.
I think that might be it. I might have to look it up again. But, I mean, I spend hours, just like all of us, hours and hours looking through these things, trying to pick apart what's fake and what's real. And it's so hard to tell. But this video specifically, man, I mean, I shared it on Twitter because I think this one's real. I can't see how or what the hell this thing was. I'm not saying it's an alien, okay? But definitely not something that's supposed to be in the sky that looks like it's not from this planet. How about that? You know, and I'm trying to think of the name of the place.
Was it back in the 80s or is this way more recent?
This was way more recent. Yeah, way more recent.
Well, for your listeners, I will make a note of this. I don't know what to think about the Billy Myers case. John Lear swears it's true. I don't know what to think about it. I've researched the hell out of it. I am undecided on the Billy Myers case. But I will tell you, when I looked up wedding cake UFO the very next day and I saw that image, I literally damn near fell out of my chair. Damn near fell out of my chair looking at that photo. That was so close to what I saw. Is the Billy Myers case true? Who knows? But that is damn near what I saw that night.
And this has nothing to do with your missing time experience, though. This was something totally different. You know,
well, actually, now that you mention that, this sighting occurred shortly after my first hypnosis experience, where I recalled what happened that night.
Uh-huh. Maybe you've just opened up something in your mind, dude, where you can see this stuff now. But
that's
could be a trigger mechanism, you know. But
absolutely.
I wanted to talk to you a little bit more about the missing time thing, but I mean, what can we really get into about it? I mean, other than the fascinating thing that you and two other people were in a car, and the next thing you know, it's, what'd you say, it was a half hour later or something, and nobody remembers anything.
It seemed instantaneously. I never looked at the clock. But it seemed instantaneous.
How much time do you think you missed, though? You're not sure?
Well, the amount of travel time is about roughly 45 minutes from where we were driving at 65 miles an hour. And then snap of a finger, we're in the parking lot for Great America. For your listeners right now, look up Jackson Street, Oakland, California. Driving directions, Jackson Street, Oakland, California to Great America. And I believe it's in San Jose. Just look up Great America. I believe it's 40 miles and it's a 45-minute drive. Instantaneously, we went from driving at 65 miles an hour, snap of a finger, the car is parked and shut off at that spot. All three of us simultaneously basically lost consciousness while driving on the freeway at 65 miles an hour. There was 40 miles of unaccounted driving time while moving at 65 miles an hour with two other people in the car. It's almost like someone turned our consciousness off like a switch. Snap of a finger, just switched it off.
Yeah, like George St. Pierre said, he said, I can't explain it, but it felt like I was a fish pulled out of water for a minute. You know, I went to the real reality and then came back, but I can't remember anything, you know.
That's exactly it. You mentioned that last time, and that's the UFC fighter, I believe, correct?
Yeah, and he's coming back to fight,
Canadian
too.
Guy.
Yeah, he was, you know, when people get on the Rogan show and they start talking anything paranormal or anything like that, I mean, you could tell he didn't want to talk about it. And George St. Pierre is a stand-up dude. This is not a guy you would think that would ever talk about UFOs or paranormal stuff, because he's just all about fighting and jiu-jitsu and stuff. But somebody brought it up, and you could see the dead seriousness on his face, but also the embarrassment, because he didn't want to talk about it. And man, that's a, you know, I'm trying to think of a word for it. It's not a shame, but it's like that really messes with the guy's self-esteem. You know, like if you think
it does
somebody, if something really happens to somebody, that nobody can prove, and they want to talk about it because either they're scared or they don't understand it or they want help, and they get nothing but laughter, and not only laughter, but from a host that has millions of listeners. And that is the only thing that I have against Rogan, is he's not really open-minded when it comes to other. I'd still vote him for president right now, but he's not really open-minded at all when it comes to that stuff at all, you know. He is with the DMT stuff, though, you know, the psychedelic world, but everything else is woo-woo, right?
Well, all the laughter, all the jokes, all of that stuff that I've been through personally, Joseph, that I just roll off my shoulder. Sure, it affects me. Absolutely, it affects me. I'm going to tell you guys right now, the tables are going to turn. They are already turning. Since we talked last, Joseph, NASA discovered 7 planets orbiting the star, which they are calling the TRAPPIST-1 star system.
Yeah.
Three of these planets, as the physicists have said, these NASA physicists, 3 of these planets in the star system have a quote. I am quoting NASA now. Physicists from NASA. 3 of these planets have a high potential for having a, quote, water-rich environment. Water-rich means oceans.
Which, in the, you know, if anybody studied embryology, oceans and water spawns life, period. At some point in time.
That's right.
It will, if it hasn't already. And I'm sure it has, man. Like I was talking before, probability, just probability alone lets us know that it's real. Probability alone. And those planets they're saying that they found, come on, man. The more we find out, the more they say, okay, man, we've got to talk about this. Otherwise, they're going to know we're lying. You know what I mean? Like, we've got to say something, but we're not. So they're going to slowly, everybody thinks all this disclosure is going to happen at once. And I'm not so sure. I think it's going to be like a slow drip, but everybody's going to sound crazy. And then NASA and the government's going to come out and kind of back it a little bit, but not all the way, until eventually it's all the way out of the bag, you know, unless you, Joe Cerletti, make some crazy discovery and we capture it, you know. Which I'm thinking might happen. I think I might be talking to the man right now that really could blow the lid off this stuff. I'm going to be honest with you guys. Just flat out.
Well, let me tell your listeners right now something extremely peculiar. Joseph, you may have seen this on my page. I hope I didn't take it down. I can easily repost it. Back in, I want to say, September 2016, you may have seen this, Joseph. I was communicating with a woman named Nada Bakos. Whether that's her real name or her code name, who knows? Nada Bakos was one of the CIA women that was heavily involved in tracking bin Laden to Pakistan. Not only was she involved in that team, but she was the team leader for tracking down a man named Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. Some of your listeners, that may ring a bell to some of your listeners. Al-Zarqawi. Oh, yeah. He was the butcher of Iraq, this guy. He was the bin Laden of Iraq. He was, as a matter of fact, if you study this stuff, bin Laden himself was disturbed. Bin Laden himself, that monster, was disturbed by the things al-Zarqawi was doing, because he was just blowing up innocent people, innocent Muslim people, yep, which is like their own people, okay? So long story short, this woman, Nada Bakos, I was communicating with her on Twitter. I asked her, and I tagged her in the post, and I tagged New York Post in this tweet. I said, ask your colleagues about Project Stargate. P.S. Looking forward to your book. If your listeners go on my Twitter right now, you can see it. It's at Zero Dark Radio. It'll be very easy to find. I tweeted her this in September of last year. If you look up Project Stargate right now on Google, you're going to see CIA documents recently released 2017 about Project Stargate disclose UFO sightings and psychic experiments conducted by the CIA. This is 2 or 3 months after I tweeted Nada Bakos. And it also says long conspiracy theorists have been interested in this for a long time. So this has been something that people have been digging at since the 70s. I tweet the CIA woman. 2 or 3 months later, Project Stargate is disclosed to the public, and it even says UFO sightings. One of the pages in the report of this Project Stargate stuff involves a man or a program participant for the CIA who went through hypnosis because the CIA was interested in exploring Mars of a million years ago.
Why and what the this hell man, did the CIA want anything to do with Mars? That's interesting.
A million years ago.
Huh.
1 million years ago. And not only were they interested in that, it says in the experiment papers, it was basically a hypnosis type thing. They had an envelope. The guy didn't see it, the subject. They wrote down coordinates of Mars a million years ago. And they wrote, 1 million years ago, Mars. Put it in an envelope. This guy under hypnosis did not see the envelope or what was written on the paper. And they say to the man under hypnosis, the CIA agent says to the program participant, he says, we want you to travel now in your mind's eye to the place in the envelope. The man immediately starts describing a desert environment. He starts talking about pyramids everywhere. He starts talking about obelisks everywhere, roads. And then he comes across tall beings wearing strange clothes. He said, yeah, they're wearing strange clothes, but they're like shadows. It's like, they were there, but they're not here anymore. It's like it's the presence of them. They're not there anymore, though. And the CIA agent says, stop trying to put things together. Focus on the raw data. One of the beings starts to approach the man. And once they started to communicate, they terminated the interview. They terminated the session.
Focus on the raw data? Yeah,
that's right. What he told the guy. He said, don't try to put anything together. He said, stop trying to put things together. Focus on the raw data. And the guy was just like, well, I'm seeing pyramids everywhere. I'm seeing obelisks everywhere. Wait a minute. One of these beings is approaching me now. And then he started communicating with it for a very, very short amount of time. And they just cut the session. Project Stargate. I tweeted Nada Bakos, this highly respected, highly credible CIA woman. 2 or 3 months later, this super classified documents are released.
Gigi just dropped a link in the chat room of Jim Mars talking about exactly about what you're talking about. To back that up, by the way, so you guys can see that. But
yes,
that's something other than astral travel. I've been studying, you know, just reading about this remote viewing thing. Is definitely real. I mean, it goes all the way back to like Edgar Cayce, stuff like that, you know, and it's proven. If it wasn't proven, if it wasn't real, they're still using it today. I don't know if you remember, I don't know if you listened to the show that I had with Nancy Dutertre on, which she was a psychic that worked with several law enforcement departments and can tell you about all kinds of cases where she did that. And it's insane. But it's almost like, as far as disclosure goes, I think the rabbit hole goes much deeper than all of us know. Right now, as we speak, if you think about this, Joe, as we speak, if you turn on the TV, matter of fact, if you get on the internet, what do you see? Trump, right? That's it. Obama's tapped Trump's lines or whatever. They got us so distracted with this crap that they can pull off anything they want. You ever think about that?
Absolutely. Well, the media is... the media now, there's no questions. The media is just a massive mind control tool. As a matter of fact, one of my you can ask relatives of mine this. One of the first things since I started to speak was I was always questioning the news. Why do they only show this? Why do they only show that? Why do they only show violence? Why do they only show war? Why do they only show death? Why do they only show extremely stressful stuff? The answer is because they are very well – they've done so many experiments on what stresses a human out, what causes fear.
Mm-hmm.
And as we all know, fear is a very effective way to keep your thumb on millions of people.
Right, and which if we take it back to what we was talking about earlier, that guy that approached you, I think that's exactly what Gigi was talking about. I think that's exactly what they tried to do to you, you know.
And, no question.
You know, I might get in trouble for saying this. And I don't care, but I got to say it, and I've told Dave this. I have a day job, obviously. I don't make $1 million doing a radio show. Would like to, but right now I don't, okay. And so at my day job, I work in a – I can't tell you who I work for, but I work for Tier 2 tech support, okay, for mobile devices. So if somebody calls in and they can't fix your stuff and the next guy can't, then they get you to me. You remember how Dave was talking about putting cameras on his cell phone, right? Like putting – not cameras, but putting tape on the camera, right?
Yes.
Okay. So this guy goes to tell me he's having problems with his phone. It's locking up, this and that. And I tell him, okay, I do all the normal checks and diagnostics. And while I'm doing that, he's telling me this story. Now, this guy's not doesn't care about the UFOs or paranormal disclosure and nothing like that. Now, I see this big, humongous update comes across for certain phones, and I can't say which ones they are. But this phone was one of them that he had. Tells me he's in the dark. And him and his buddy are talking. They are talking about, quote, the Twilight Zone and talking about all that stuff because we got into a conversation about radio shows because, I'd like to talk to the customers and stuff when I'm fixing their phones or tablets or whatever. Goes to tell me that 2 weeks ago his camera turned on, and just as soon as his camera turned on his device, which he tried to call in that night but couldn't, the flashlight turns on. Why did the flashlight turn on? Because the room was dark. Now, he didn't even figure this out. He was like, oh, dude, you know, my phone came on, and then the flashlight came on all at the same time, man. This phone's broken. He didn't figure out in his head that somebody had tapped into a network or something, went to his camera and turned it on with the flashlight because whoever was looking through it couldn't see. And I'm thinking, should I say something to this guy or freak him out even more or not? But as soon as that happened, the date he told me that happened, there was a massive update on these phones, and some of you may have gotten them. Somebody penetrated the phone's network. I'm not saying it for real, or I know this for a fact, but why else would there be a massive update the day all of these certain types of phones were just acting like crazy, doing crazy things, cameras turning on, all kinds of stuff? You know, and as big as a skeptic as I am, you know, I'm not making this up, but I really did make me think, you know, our phone, they know everything we do, Sir Letty, everything we do, when we do it, why we do it, what words we say, what everything.
What we're thinking.
Yeah.
What our next move is most likely to be.
Right. And
spots we frequent, our hideout, our hangout spots.
There was a game Google put out called Ingress. I don't know if did you guys ever play that game? Did you ever play it, Joe?
I never played it. I heard a lot of dudes were into that. I just never got into it.
They made you drive around in your cars, yes, and stuff and capture
find
these
landmarks.
Right. For some reason, these landmarks ended up being, a lot of them were fire stations, capitals, and churches, graveyards, Freemasonic temples, and all kinds of stuff. The whole time we're playing these games, they're just collecting data on us. you know. And not too long ago, I also had told a customer, I had found out that this was way before this, you know, I don't know if you heard, but they found out that certain TVs like Vizio were, even when you weren't using the smart apps, were picking up data on you, what you were watching and all this stuff. And there's this big lawsuit and all this stuff. So I would get people to call in and say, oh, man, I'm using all this data and I don't know where it's coming from. And I dug a long time ago and found out that their TVs were just capturing data from them. What do they watch? What time are they watching it? All the, and they didn't even know it. Lawsuit comes out about a year later. Now, I might get in trouble for saying this stuff, but I think it's important for people to know that this is what I'm finding out about, and I'm an idiot. So what's really going on? You know?
What's really going on is millions of people are basically under some small form of hypnosis, implemented, having fear deeply imprinted in their subconscious, having control and obedience imprinted into their subconscious. What's happening is more than 80% of adult Americans have some sort of medications in their cabinets. What's happening is people are discovering, I believe actually Lori McDonald told me this, the highly respected MUFON accredited hypnotherapist out in Sacramento. There was a law passed in 2014, which basically says there's no limit to the amount of subliminal messages they can put in commercials. Tones, messages, this sort of thing. People on are on a toxic cocktail of these medications. They're watching their television shows, they're watching their Netflix, and they're getting these messages to obey, to not think for themselves, to go to work every day to keep the system running.
Well, I have to differ with you on one thing. Just one little thing about that. Netflix does play, like, you know, mainstream shows, right? But I was listening to Shift Happens when he was talking to Casper Parks, and a lot of these independent shows come out. Netflix will play them. And there's this show called Black Mirror. And you guys got to watch this show, man. I'm telling you right now. And I don't want to give the first episode away, but it pretty much is shows us what the world would look like when all we care about is our ratings on social media. And people literally are, they go crazy. And if you just have to watch it, because it shows you what the human psyche is all about and what's really going on. And there's some good shows on Netflix, so you really got to dig for them, you know. But I'm not thinking it's going to be too much longer before they start, you know, regulating the internet, because it's starting to get slippery now, you know, starting to get slippery where if you say something or you're going to offend somebody, you know how Facebook came out and said, they did experiments and got sued over these experiments. Have you heard about that?
No,
they did an experiment.
No, I have not.
Yeah. Okay. And I heard, I think it was Jeremy Scott talking about this. They did an experiment where they purposely showed a bunch of people, one set of people, a whole bunch of great, wonderful, and happy images. Okay. And then they showed a whole nother group of people, just these terrible images, horrible news, all kinds of stuff. And then they used the scientific method and used control groups and all that stuff to see how it would affect people's posts on Facebook, what they share, you know, their all that stuff. And it did affect people. It certainly did affect people. And when somebody found out about it, here's what's weird about the whole thing. Facebook admitted to doing this. And then when somebody found out about it, they got this big lawsuit after them about it. Okay. They're all totally in the open about it, though. That's what's weird. Now, why would they be in the open about that? What happens when we sue people for doing stuff to us on the internet? What comes after that, Sir Letty? Regulation.
Of the internet.
That's right. So there's
free speech.
Right. So these big companies are doing these experiments. I mean, what's a couple of million bucks to Facebook, right, on a lawsuit? They make billions, right? But if they pull off a stunt like that, they get sued. Then people are complaining about it. Man, they're messing with us on the internet. Look at what they're doing. They're messing with us. And they know that's going to happen. Instead of hiding it, then, you know, Big Brother steps in and says, well, you know, this looks like something we're going to have to regulate. And then it's a downhill slope from there, man. So it's like you can't win.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Go ahead with what you were saying, dude. I got on a rant here. I apologize.
Well, the internet, what we're doing right here, Joseph, they don't like that. They don't like grassroots efforts. They don't like grassroots talk shows. They don't like free thinkers. I mean, it's just pretty obvious in itself about that. I want to say they wish they never gave us the internet. They wish they could go back in time and somehow, some way, could have put a lot more controls on the internet. But then again, if you listen to Edward Snowden, if you listen to what he says about the PRISM program, PRISM, they can damn near intercept 90% or more of all internet traffic. So they have all the, they already have their claws sunk in on these internet transmissions, emails, Skype, Facebook, Google, YouTube, all of it. Oh, and one more thing I'm going to mention. Interestingly enough, the FBI agent that I was telling you about earlier, I won't say which company I named, but he works for one of those companies now.
Really?
Yes.
So he knew his stuff then, for sure.
Well, what I'm trying to say is that the counterterrorism people and the deep government analysts and operatives, they're very cushy now with these tech companies.
Yeah.
Very cushy.
Yeah, I think there's something going on with that. That whole fake news thing that came out where, you know, all these companies said, we're going to make sure we stop fake news. And then they get in there. I mean, I don't, be honest with you, man, I don't mind a little fake news. I don't mind a little bit of propaganda, because if we start regulating that stuff, then it's just going to be a matter of time for they regulate something else. And I never used to be this whole slippery slope guy, you know, and this ain't a right wing, left wing thing at all. I just, one of the last things that we have where we don't get slapped on the hand for, and it's already starting to happen, is the internet, you know. I mean, look at the look at the paranormal group. I mean, we love it. You love it. The listeners love it. We love this stuff, man. We eat it, sleep it, and breathe it every night. We're listening to something, watching YouTube videos, investigating. But if you look at the decline of the group as a whole, man, since like the late 80s till now, back when Art Bell was doing his thing, it wasn't just about Art Bell. It was just Art Bell opened up something that, you know, people were honest about in their heads but didn't talk about in the street, you know. And that's what we got to do on the internet. And now it's shrinking, yeah. Dude. It's like getting smaller. Art Bell's quit. It's getting smaller and smaller. And now it's, you know, there's a lot of people pointing their fingers saying, you guys are wasting your time with this stuff. You know, paranormal's dead and all this stuff is dead. And I think that was the plan all along, man. I think that they purposely have got our focus on something totally different. Disinfo, if you've ever seen that movie, The Good Shepherd, man, disinfo is really just psychological warfare. It goes a lot deeper. It's a lie on top of a lie on top of a lie, you know. And you don't know what's true anymore. You might as well not even turn on the TV. Do you ever feel like that, man? Don't you ever think that, I don't know what's real anymore. Only thing I know is what I see with my own eyes now.
That's exactly, I think, the point of what we do here, Joseph. Very few people are awake. Very few people have the capability anymore to think for themselves, because A, they're so ego. I mean, I hate to sound negative here, but so many people like to make jokes about what we talk about. Meanwhile, NASA is making announcements about these star systems with water on them. We have two presidents, actually three, but really two U.S. presidents, recent U.S. presidents, saying on national television that they can't talk about UFOs. People are just – they're unable to comprehend, to digest, to think for themselves. They don't want to. They want to take their little pill, their what's the word I'm looking for here? Their imaginary pill where they just live in their own imaginary world because their ego and the idea that their life is more important than someone else's life. That's comfortable to them.
That's the perfect way to describe ego right there. My life is more important than yours.
And that is exactly, Joseph, what is wrong with not only this country, but this world. This world. Look at terrorism, extremism, genocide. There's people starving all around the world right now. Right now. It could be solved instantly if we decided to stop putting so much money into these missiles. The next missile that can track someone down and kill untold numbers of people. If we just stopped focusing on that stuff, we could get some amazing things done. But egos are just too strong to do some good in this world, to shift consciousness. To build, not destroy. We are focused on destroying. We're focused on ourselves. Too many people are focused on themselves. I'm guilty of it sometimes myself. I try my damn best not to be. But there is a subconscious programming that has been instilled in me since childhood.
Yeah, I think that's just human nature. I'm not so sure that's the ego.
Maybe, yeah.
But I think that what you're saying, the fact that you're aware of it is takes away from what we call the ego. Just being aware of it. You know, just being aware that, hey, this person sleeps, breathes, bleeds, feels, has emotions, has the same fears as I do. And the only difference between me and him is I'm not looking out from his eyes. I'm looking through mine. Other than that, there's no difference. Just being aware of that alone says a lot about you. It says a lot about all the people that are that way. But if you really look at all the toys and tinkers we have and all the media and stuff, that they do not play to that side of us. And the ones that do, you know what sickens me even more now is I am a big study of spirit science, the occult and mystery schools, because like, you know, Mark Passio, the ancient knowledge was a good thing. You know, but it got co-opted and corrupted and stuff. And now it's, you know, there's a big war going on for light and dark in there. But now that has become a market. The mystery schools of antiquity is a market. Now it is a niche market that you can go out and make money with. That's crazy. Is that not crazy?
And it is crazy, and I believe it says somewhere in the Bible that money is the root of all evil, and I'm going to tell you, nothing's changed. Here we are, 2017. Nothing has changed. Money is still the root of all evil. We're still focused on war.
And Google we have has a military- come up with its own language. Do you hear about that?
No, I have not. That sounds extremely interesting.
So you know that app Google Translate, right? The one that you translate languages on your webpage and stuff?
Yes, absolutely. That's a great tool.
It was a difficult thing for the programmers to do, to just...
I can imagine.
I mean, bam, turn the page like that. But Google has been programmed to think for itself, and Google told the programmers, hey, I've got an idea. why don't I develop my own language to make this easier for everybody? And Google did that on its own, developed its own code language overnight, pretty much. Solved the riddle for the programmers. And they're all cheering and thinking it's a wonderful thing.
This is only the beginning of machines thinking for themselves. And what? And you know whether that's a good thing? Maybe they'll be good for the planet. Maybe they'll be good for the planet. But we'll see here.
Self-driving automobiles, things that can program themselves. You know, I don't know. I'm the technocracy thing. I'm a bit afraid of. I'm not saying technology is not a good thing. But just like, you know, Jaws.
It's a blessing.
Right, exactly. But just like John Anthony West said, we take the spirituality and the whatever the opposite of ego is out of it, and we just focus on technology, it will be a dark day. It will be, man. It'll be, I guarantee it'll be just like the Terminator, just like Skynet. We'll all have humps in our neck from looking down on our phones. I think people are already starting to develop that, by the way.
See, my worry, Joseph, is, and this is a subject that I rarely touch on because whenever I talk about this, things happen. But a lot of people don't talk about this. There is an untold number of nuclear weapons ready to go as we speak right now all around the world. Every day that goes by,
like a ticking time bomb.
Well, it is. It is. Because guess what? Human nature is part of that equation.
Yeah. Yeah, and the media is not helping any either. My dad is like a flagrant like left-wing guy. He hates Donald Trump. So you can imagine every time I visit dad, he's got Trump on. And I'm watching the camera, like I was telling Chad Meek, who's going to be on tomorrow night, by the way, film the nuclear football. They put their camera on it and said, "And hey, everybody, there's the nuclear football behind the president now." Now, have they ever done that before with any other president? Why would they show you a blatant picture of a Marine carrying a nuclear football behind Donald Trump? Why would they show you that? Why would they say, hey, look at this?
I missed that one, but that's a powerful, powerful photo, it sounds like. Scary. Yeah.
Right, because who scares you more than him with that stuff, right? That's why they did it.
Nobody.
They want to scare us. Hey, I want to talk to you a little bit about the Zodiac and stuff. You want to stick around and talk about that? We can take another break real quick.
I would love to. Cool, I would love to.
All right, guys. We'll be right back with Joe Cerletti. All right, we're back with Joe Cerletti. We're doing a little bit of a longer show tonight because it is might be the last time I get to talk to this guy before he starts his show. If you guys want to call in to the show, it is 831-777-8643, and we do have a caller on the line, and it is the 281 area code. You're on the air with Joe Cerletti. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, man, it's Gigi.
Hey, what's up, Gigi?
Gigi, hello.
He's the one
nice
who's been dropping comments.
On, man.
Yeah, he's the one who's been dropping comments in the chat room. What's going on, brother?
That's Shift, correct?
Yeah, Shift happens.
What's up, Shift?
Hey, man. Yeah. Hey, what's happening, Joe and Joe? And, yeah, you know, it's funny because Cerletti, I mean, every experience that you have shared tonight, I've had a direct parallel experience of each of those, and you know, kind of ironic as well that we're both, you know, starting up, you know, we've both got shows that are starting on, you know, the Fringe right now, and it's just and it's also kind of random that I was actually able to tune in all things aligned for me to hear this conversation, and I've got to say I can hear it in the tone of your voice. You've definitely experienced what I have, and I think what a lot of us have, as far as being in these fields of research and in this field of radio and what have you. And you know, one thing I wanted to point out is, which I think you got, you know, I definitely said in the chat, and you all acknowledged a little bit earlier, is you know, especially your encounter with that guy while you were doing the Instagram, while you were doing that live feed, and that guy with the headlights off showed up, you know, I mean, that's definitely, you know, that's stuff that, you know, if you think about it from their perspective, right, you know, okay, there's people figuring out what's going on. There's people that are prodding into this, you know, what can we do? And if you look at it that way, one of the, you know, I mean, especially when you consider it legally, all they can really, really do is scare you. And usually that's all it takes. It, you know, for 99.9% of people that are talking about this stuff publicly or doing anything, all it takes is one scare like that. And usually, you know, that knocks them off the map and then problem solved. But, you know, when it comes to, and that's why I think it's so great that, you know, it didn't stop you. And I think that's what, you know, shows like yours and mine and Joe's and, you know, and everybody, that's, you know, that's a really, that's where the road meets the rubber, you know, is, you know, cause I think a lot of people have had this experience and they just, they're just freaked out from it. But, you know, I really do applaud the fact that you experienced that, and you are, I mean, right away, you're just, here you are, you're on the show, and you're talking to, you know, like, I think that's really awesome that you have powered through that.
What happened? I mean, I'm sure both me, Joe, and I are curious, though, and I've never heard you talk about it. I know we're on the phone and all, but could you just tell us what happened? What happened to you? Can you give us an experience that happened to you that kind of like that happened to Joe?
Well, how much longer are you guys going to be on the air?
man, for a little bit, you know, I realize there's other shows on, or they just ended that, you know, I think it's only fair to stay on for a little bit longer. Joe's down with it, but, you know, I mean, we don't want to make it, you know, like a story or anything, but I am curious as to what happened.
Oh, no, I'm just asking because it really, I will be more than happy to tell you guys the full inclusive story off of the air, just because, I mean, you know, to really get to make sense of the whole thing, it really, you know, I mean, we might be on the phone for an hour or two, but okay. I will try my best to give a summarized version. It all starts, we got to go back to about late 2009, early 2010. And this actually ties in with a few things along the way of this story. I used to work, and I actually have talked about this on shows before when I used to do Beyond the Strange. I'm not sure if we talked about this on Shift Happens, but this is out there in some form or another, but I'm more than happy to share it here. You know, so back in those days, let's say 2010, I, through a long series of synchronicities and just random happenings, when I was living in Los Angeles, I ended up working for a corporation that was, at the time, they were at the frontier of developing artificial intelligence and what it is being used for today. And for example, just exactly as you were mentioning earlier on the show, how, you know, Samsung TVs and different TVs and phones, they have this secret off, you know, it's not really off. You think it's off, but it is off. And they're you know, they're recording you and they're recording everything you're doing. And they're using those recordings to, you know, to figure through different algorithms where you're going to be that night, you know, your patterns of life, you know, who you're going to talk to, what you're going to be interested in. And they know, and initially they arc that as, oh, it's just marketing. But see, here's the thing is, this, I'm talking about back in 2010, we knew full well that is exactly what they were going to do with it. And that was our whole mission. That was our whole point with our corporation, which, you know, if I was not going to announce this on the air, but, you know, I think it is perfectly acceptable. The name of the corporation was Tau Creative. And at the time, we knew full well that if this technology got into the wrong hands, that, you know, exactly what's making the headlines this last week would happen. We knew this 5 years ago, 6 years ago. And you know, it got to a point because there was two sides of it. I mean, at one point, we were trying to sell this. We were trying to figure out how to sell this technology to, you know, to different corporations and companies that could use this in the advantage of marketing. But at the same time, we didn't want to give it into the hands of somebody, you know, like the NSA. You know, we didn't want to get into the wrong hands. But as time went on, it proved to itself that, you know, it was, you know, it was going to get out there anyway. And, you know, one of the craziest things that happened is at one point, you know, just like Joe's first story of tonight, you know, we had a lot of, there was all kinds of wiretapping there. I mean, very noticeable, spying. And, it was like, you know, like everything we were doing was under high scrutiny on all fronts. And so we had a meeting one day where the whole point of the meeting was this, like, okay, listen, anytime we have communication about our operations, no computers, you can't jot notes down on your phone. No, it's got to be pencil and paper, and not even pen. It had to be pencil and paper from that point forward. And right after we had that meeting, about, it wasn't even a week later, it was probably about 5 days later, we had somebody break into our office, and it wasn't just somebody, it was literally a police officer, a legitimate police officer that somebody had paid him to, you know, break into our office. And he very clearly knew where the blueprints, he knew where the data files were for, it's really hard to explain, but long story short, the files that would allow you to understand how to use artificial intelligence in the way that it is being used right now in these smart TVs and in our Androids, if you follow what I'm saying. And it just so happens that they, you know, they knew exactly where to go. They broke in within minutes. They were in those files, and well, they're on that computer. And but we knew that, you know, they were going to be hacking the computer. So we also had them on like literal paper files that were not in the computer. They knew exactly where to go. And but I mean, we busted them soon enough. But ironically, you know, quote, you know, that guy was never found. And, you know, it gets really, really bizarre. And then after, right around that point in things is when I literally got, I got forced out of the scene. And by forced, I mean, I got scared out of the scene by such happenings as, Cerletti's first story of the show tonight, which, you know, I give a very good analogy about this, which I think in part two with Richard Allen Miller on Shift Happens, which we're going to be putting out tomorrow morning. I think this is what I end the show with, is asking Richard Allen Miller this question, is who are these people? And who I'm asking about is this. So here's the analogy. Imagine if you woke up one morning, and let's say normally your routine is you put on your fluffy, furry slippers and you go into the bathroom, you start shaving, you get ready for your day, right? Right. Let's say one morning you forgot to put those slippers on, right? You go into the bathroom and then you stub your toe really bad. Like, I mean, you might as well have broken your toe. It hurts really bad, right? But whatever, you throw it all together, you get yourself ready and you get out there. And then you make it down to the coffee shop down the street. Your usual spot. And then you come in there, you're sitting down, you're having your coffee, then some random guy just comes up to you and goes, "Hey, should have wore your slippers this morning, huh?" And then kind of walks off, you know, like clearly, yes. Like how on earth, I know, Cerletti, I know you know exactly what I'm talking about. So that's kind of why I'm calling in. It's like,
you're saying that for an example, did that really happen to you?
I'm saying that for a very, very close example of something like that that did happen, but the problem with that is that it had to do with a situation with how creative
I got you. I understand.
It would not be in any of our best interests.
I understand.
If I were to have said that right now. But it really was, for all intents and purposes, it was not much different than something that only meant something to us, but it should have been only to us. And somehow somebody, there's no possible way that anybody would even know to bring that up if they weren't there in the actual situation. And I think, like I said before, they are very good at scaring you. But at the end of the day, I think that really is, there's two things they can do. They can scare you, which that works for most people. But the other tactic, what they really do is, if somebody's doing something that you don't want to get out there, you can take them out. You can do all these different drastic things. But what's the most untraceable thing, the most hands-off thing you can do? Create a situation to where that target basically all by themselves discredits themselves by looking crazy. So if you create a situation for them that makes them sound crazy, but they know full well that experience actually happened. I mean, they were there, they saw it, but it sounds crazy. That's the best way to discredit somebody,
right?
Is by making them sound ridiculous. We saw every side of that coin over there. I haven't had anything to deal with the artificial intelligence community in over 4 years. We did make good friends over the years, but at the same time, it's like, I've learned what I've had to learn from there, and I don't really care to be that much caught up in it. But it did spark me enough to where here I am hosting a show, and here I am talking with you guys, and I think that's the level where I end up settling with.
You got anything to add to that, Joe? Sir Letty?
Not really. I'm still listening.
Okay.
Well, really, Joe, I mean, Sir Letty, my main thing for you is I really do not, don't let them scare you, because I really think at the end of the day, that's, and the fact that I let them scare me, I let that ruin a lot of opportunities for myself. And I can hear it in your voice.
I can very clearly, you've
tasted the same thing. Don't let it scare you. And I think you're doing a very good job of not letting it scare you, because you're about to do that show with John Lear, which, dude, that is so awesome. John Lear is, that's definitely somebody I would want to interview too. And he is absolutely loaded with knowledge, and I think, like a lot of people say, the fact that you're catching so much, heat from that direction, that just means that you're doing something right, So keep on.
Absolutely. I appreciate that. And I totally agree with you that the smartest thing next to killing someone, which is just too sloppy and too difficult if you're trying to keep a secret, is to affect someone's psyche to the point where they run themselves off the cliff. Totally agree with you.
Right on.
It really is. It really is. And we really watched that get employed. And a side note, but a very interesting thing that I think you guys would be interested to know is that although this corporation I was working for, the artificial intelligence, that was the main, that's what we were trying to sell. We were trying to sell to different corporations, different television networks that we thought would make use of that. But you know what? The other thing that we had going on at the time was 3D without glasses technology. And there is a very primitive version of this technology in the form of the Nintendo 3DS. you know, they kind of, it's a, you almost can't even consider it the same thing, but you can at least get a rough idea. But, you know, the whole, this was the other big thing about this corporation was we were, they were in place, they were in position to, you know, this whole 3D with glasses thing, like, yeah, that's kind of cool, you know, but everybody, you know, you hear the same thing, you know, it gives you a headache and it's not true colors. You got to wear these goofy glasses, you know, it's just, it's kind of just a wonky thing. It never really, you know, but I'm telling you, back in 2010, we had this, it was 3D glasses with, or no, 3D technology without the glasses. And the way it was done is, because essentially what the 3D glasses do is they, you know, with the two different, the blue and the red, it tricks your brain into kind of forcing this false 3D image thing that your eyes have to physically produce, and that's why it causes your headache. But with this, all of that process was actually done in the television, and you could actually calibrate whether how much, you know, 3D it was or it wasn't. Like, I mean, you know, if there was, let's just say, you know, if Angelina Jolie was standing on the screen, I could literally hold my hand under her shirt, you know, and it looks like I'm holding one of them, right? And just completely, perfectly clear. And the interesting thing is that we had that technology mastered 100% back in 2010, yet it still does not exist here in 2017. They're still trying to sell the 3D with glasses. They're trying to sell, you know, all that stuff, but it's not, what about this? We've had this for, you know, 6-7 years now, and it also just so happens to be the same corporation that had the artificial intelligence technology, which is now unreluctantly being used by your smart TVs and your smartphones and the intelligence agencies and what have you, you know. So it's kind of interesting that that part of them got shut down, while at the same time the other part of that corporation also never came to be.
Yeah, and I appreciate you telling us that. So it just kind of validates even more of what we were talking about, dude. I appreciate your call, man. Thanks for calling in, Gigi.
Yeah, thank you, Gigi.
Yeah, man, definitely. Yeah, keep on keeping on, brother.
All right. You have a good one, man. That is Gigi Rabbit, and he has a show called Shift Happens, and it is on the network, and it's also on Spreaker, and it's at shifthappenspodcast.com. And the next interviews he's going to do, I recommend everybody to listen to, because it's really cool. I mean, really cool conversations. He's got some good guests on there. And
that was a good call.
Yeah.
That was a good call.
And you can tell he likes to, he's passionate about the stuff too. And I mean, the network's open for anybody that wants to do that. If you guys want to hit me up and think you can do the same thing, just let me know. I think we're going to keep it, like you're saying, Joe, like grassroots. Try to keep it that way, you know, try to keep it different, you know, where it's not so commercialized. I'm not saying other shows are, but there used to be a real movement to try to dig the truth out. And instead of just trying to market to get more listeners and hope we get, that's great to get more listeners, but if you stop caring about the truth, or you stop making that your focal point, then you're selling yourself out one way or the other. That's just my opinion, you know, my total opinion. But I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the Zodiac case. And
absolutely. I actually just sent you an interesting message on your Facebook here. You can tell your tell the listeners what you're looking at. If you could go into your Facebook messages there. This is a little interesting thing that my uncle picked up. Do you see? Okay, so what you're looking at there, Joseph.
Looks like a comic book cover.
That's a comic book cover from, I believe it may be the mid-50s, late 50s, or early 60s. Notice the wheel. It's a Zodiac type wheel behind the man. He's tied up, and it says Red Mask meets Lady Doom in the Death Wheel. And on the wheel, it says death by rope, death by gun, death by knife, and death by fire.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to the next picture here, there is a letter Zodiac wrote, which says, by fire, by gun, by knife, by rope. From your secret, pal, I feel it in my bones. You ache to know my name, and so I clue you in. And basically,
that's creepy.
It is creepy. It is creepy. The listeners really have to see what we're looking at to understand, but according to all the other police theories, the rope part never made sense, but one of the murders that was discovered by the people that my uncle was involved with, he used rope in one of the murders, and he believed that this comic book was a huge influence on all of the murders, really. I mean, it's a really eerie cover here that we're looking at here. It's kind of random. It's kind of a deep story, but small piece of the puzzle.
I can see the correlation. He's definitely talking about the same things on there. So do you think that the guy that put this out is the guy that wrote the comic book? Or had with the comic book?
No, he was just a psychotic that was fascinated by morbid stuff. He hated women. And here's something else I'll point out. Notice the cowboy, the hero, he's tied up. And there's a beautiful woman who is basically in charge of this guy's doom. My uncle's suspect. He brought the man in for questioning, the suspect guy,
right,
who was the only man on the long list of suspects that had code training, cryptography training in the military. Brings the guy in. He, after interrogating him, lets the guy go, but he's still extremely peculiar. He's like, no, this guy's definitely the guy. He said, if this guy isn't the Zodiac, I will eat my hat, is what he said. Within 2 hours, my uncle got called into the judge's chambers of Solano County by the district attorney. He said, get over here right away. I need to talk to you right now. Bring your patrol car. Get over here ASAP. My uncle goes to the judge's chambers, meets with the DA. The DA says, what's going on with this guy that you just brought in for questioning? What's the suspect? My uncle says he's a potential Zodiac suspect. As a matter of fact, he's a very hot, prime, top of the list Zodiac suspect. The DA said, I don't care who he is. You're going to burn your files right now. I know the man's wife. You're going to burn your files and you're never going to bother this man again. What? And it turned out, Zodiac was a heavy alcoholic after the war, because he was involved with the military code training stuff. His wife was cheating on him with the district attorney of Solano County. So look at this picture here. The woman seems to be in charge of this man's doom. And it fits with my uncle's theory that this man was driven to murder by a woman, which is totally unfair.
Sorry to cut you off, but I dropped those pictures in the on Twitter under Lighting the Void and hashtag LTV Radio. There's two of them. One looks like a comic book, and the other one is from the Zodiac Killer.
Correct. So anyways, that's just a very small, interesting piece of the puzzle that most people probably don't know. But to make a long story short, in December of 1968, there were a boy and a girl, no older than 17 years old, high school students, parked at a sort of lover's hangout spot. It's a very isolated spot couples used to go to back in the 60s. In the middle of Lake Herman Road in Vallejo, these two kids are sitting in their car. Car pulls up. I believe the car had a tie beams on them. The theory was that the kids originally thought that the guy was a cop rolling up on him. The guy starts walking up to the window and without warning starts shooting boom, 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 at the car. The male, the driver, the 17-year-old boy gets out of the car. He shoots the boy, I believe, 3 times. Boy drops dead right there, out slumped right outside the car. He barely opened the door. Took 3 rounds. Detectives believe that he gave the girl a chance to run. The girl turned, started running, and this monster shot her in the back, I believe, between four and seven times.
Jesus.
Just in the back. 17-year-old girl. What's the point I'm trying to make here? He hated women. He hated women. He targeted women. Most of the males that were targeted by Zodiac survived. There were very few male victims. They were all women. And my uncle's theory was that this man's wife cheated on him with the district attorney. He hated the law. He hated law enforcement. Anything that had to do with the law, which is why he wrote these letters to law enforcement taunting them, which is why he targeted women. He had code training in the military. He was the only guy on this long list of suspects that had code training. Some of the Zodiac codes are still to this day unbroken. Now, rumor has it that the NSA has broken a few of these codes, and one of the codes mentions my uncle's name in the code. According to Lyndon Lafferty, who is a retired law enforcement officer who worked on the case with my uncle, he was shown a letter, a broken Zodiac letter, a broken code. They broke the code. The top of the letter was apparently cut off, so you couldn't read who the breakers of the code were. It was some government agency. He said, "Who broke this code?" My uncle said, "I can't tell you that." This man, Lyndon Lafferty, who worked on the case with my uncle, brought it to his FBI buddies. He said, "Did you guys break this code?" The FBI said, "No, no, no, no. We know exactly who this is. This is not the Bureau's language. That's the National Security Agency's language." The NSA broke one of the codes, and according to the code, part of the code said, "You have the wrong man. Talk to Detective Lundblad," which was my biological uncle, who brought this guy in for questioning. And make a long story short, there's so much to this story. But make a long story short, my uncle being told to terminate his investigation, it literally broke his spirit. Here was a respected law enforcement agent, a sergeant detective. He was the highest ranking detective at the Lake Herman Road crime scene. Always clean cut, always tip-top shape, always looking sharp, always talking sharp. As a matter of fact, I'll send you a few pictures of him talking to the press. He passed away less than 5 or 6 years later because this just broke his spirits to not be able to bring this man to justice.
And for all the listeners that are listening, so I see some people, I can see pretty much everybody who's listening, or at least where they're from, and some of these people are new. What he's talking about is his uncle pretty much cracked the case of the Zodiac Killer. And I asked you this before, and I hate to beat it down, but do you know, is it okay to say the guy's name?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The man's name is William Joseph Grant.
That's right. Yep.
William Joseph Grant. My uncle's suspect, of all the suspects in the Zodiac case, you know, there's so many people. Oh, no, I know who the Zodiac is. I know who this. Nope, that's not the Zodiac. I know who the Zodiac is. I'm going to tell you something right now. None of those people, none of those suspects had code training. My uncle's suspect had cryptography training during World War II. He was highly trained in writing
basically damn near unbreakable codes and unbreakable codes. The only guy.
I just don't understand why they were telling him to shut the case down, man. Like, why did I guess they wanted to squash the case because maybe it would make them look bad or something. But doesn't the world want this crazy son of a bitch to get taken? I mean, justice? I mean, what happened to that? Doesn't that matter?
Well, here's the conclusion I've come to. The law enforcement agent I was telling you about, his name is Lyndon Lafferty. Look him up, Lyndon Lafferty. He wrote a book called The Zodiac Killer Cover-Up. I met him. I had the honor of meeting him and talking to him many times. He passed away about 2 years ago. He was the last – one of the last surviving law enforcement agents that worked very closely on the case with my uncle. The only conclusion I can come to, Joseph, is the Zodiac suspect, as I told you, he had this cryptography training. He was some sort of national security asset. I don't know if he was actively still working for the government, but he must have been worth something to them. Whether he was part of the MKUltra experiments that were going on at that time, or whether he was still actively working in code breaking for the government. I think it's more likely he was part of an MKUltra experiment. But we'll never know, Joseph, because the answers to these questions died about 4 years ago. The Zodiac suspect finally passed away at the age of, I believe, 92 years old. They cremated his body before the law enforcement agent could fingerprint him, get DNA from him, any of that stuff. They cremated him immediately. It was almost like there was some sort of file on him or alert on him or some sort of national security directive saying, terminate the body, get rid of it. I mean, this may sound unheard of, but look at what they did with bin Laden. Look at what they did with Hitler. This is not unheard of them, of weird coincidences with the bodies immediately after passing. So there's so many answers, Joseph, that we'll never get to, but I'm going to tell your listeners right now, I have a very strong feeling that if the FBI would simply go to this man's property, acquire a warrant, or get the homeowner, whoever's at that property now's permission, if they were to take their x-ray machines and walk through the property, walk through the house, walk through the open space, they would find evidence buried. Still there.
And you're totally convinced, beyond the shadow of a doubt yourself, after all the studying that you've done, that this is the man. This was the Zodiac.
I think it's very likely. Very likely.
And that doesn't correspond with the same guy they did the movie about either. This is a different guy, isn't it?
It doesn't. And I'm gonna make a point here right now. The man you're referring to, his name was Arthur Leigh Allen. L-E-I-G-H Allen.
Yeah.
Arthur, you can look it up right now, appears to have been acquitted as a suspect from DNA evidence. DNA evidence cleared Arthur Leigh Allen in the early 2000s.
Yeah, that movie really made it seem like that's the guy in the end. Like they wanted you to believe that, you know?
I'm going to send you a picture here right now of Arthur Leigh Allen and the wanted sketch of the Zodiac. And I'm going to... You can tell your listeners if you see any resemblance. Your listeners can look it up themselves right now. Look up Zodiac Wanted poster and look up Arthur Leigh Allen. Compare those two photos. You tell me. But I'm going to tell you right now, Arthur Leigh Allen had no code training. He just was a sick man. He was deranged. He was disturbed. But this was no Zodiac. Zodiac was a criminal genius. You ask any local law enforcement that, they will tell you. This man, because Zodiac was never brought to justice, Zodiac, whoever he was a criminal genius who never got caught. I'm going to send you these pictures right now of Arthur Leigh Allen and the Zodiac. But
yeah, I've put most of them up in Twitter under Lighting the Void and at hashtag LTV Radio.
Another thing. Okay.
That is pretty interesting.
His body weight was just way too heavy. He was a very big guy, Arthur. Zodiac's body shape, his size, his intelligence, it just didn't seem to fit with Arthur. Arthur had no code training. He was a sick man. There's no question about that.
Yeah, and the Zodiac was definitely, like, his favorite thing to do was write codes and messages and cryptography and try to, you know, it was like one of his favorite things to do besides murdering people, you know, based
That's
on
exactly
all the stuff
true.
That you see. It was a very sick, but I guess, you know, an intelligent sick person, too. You know, that's what freaks me out about it more than anything.
He was never caught.
But you hear, dude, you hear like all of these stories of karma and this and that and in spirit science, where you reap what you sow, and maybe he'll get it in the next life. But he obviously didn't get, he got nothing in this life that we know of. So it kind of makes me think that maybe a little bit of that is BS, but then again, maybe in the next life he's going to get, and I'm hoping justice is served, but, and I'm not saying this man, because I don't know if it's this man for a fact, okay, but whoever it was, I do hope he gets what he deserves, because that was a terrible thing to do, and that's almost like, and I can't even relate to two, but it's like, the Holocaust, you know, how can we ever just let someone get away with it? You know, how does the world let somebody get away with that? Why would they try to cover it up?
Our country did that in the name of science. Most of your listeners are probably aware of Project Paperclip. We brought some of the most heinous, sick, twisted Nazi scientists to this country, where they lived out the rest of their lives in peace, providing this country science. Now, there's no question we would have never made it to the moon if it wasn't for some of these scientists, these German scientists. But the fact of the matter is, our country secretly, because they knew it was wrong, they knew the outrage our country would have, secretly brought these German Nazi loyalist scientists to this country, where they lived out the rest of their lives in peace, in the name of science, in the name of furthering our science agenda.
Yeah, and even Elon Musk said that a lot of these scientists, they get, when he was talking about artificial intelligence, even he quoted, he said they get so caught up in their work that they totally forget, you know, the effects of what they're doing. And the guy asked him, if you had one thing to say to the government about artificial intelligence and the work that's going on, what would you say? And that's what he said. Scientists get caught up in their work and obsessed with the results so much that they care nothing about the effects. They lose. And this isn't all scientists, but the ones he's talking about, they lose, the cause and effect of the whole thing, you know. And Oppenheimer, right? It's almost like that the guy got off on it, because when did you ever hear him say, what did he say? Now I have become
the maker of
the God, the destroyer of worlds. right? Like, it was like, cool. I have become death, destroyer of war. Like, it was like he was possessed with some interdimensional being, and he was getting off on what he was saying, you know?
He damn well may have been, Joseph.
It was the creep. That is one of the creepiest things I have ever seen on the internet or heard.
So, you know, it's funny you bring up Oppenheimer. Let's jump back here to Area 51 and John Lear, Bob Lazar, the Bob Lazar story. Bob Lazar, the Area 51 employee, at the very beginning of all this whole Area 51 story, he was offered a job at Livermore Labs, which is that laboratory I was talking about earlier in your show. Bob was offered a job there by Dr. William Teller, who worked on building the bomb with Oppenheimer. So if Teller is working right around the corner at this Livermore Labs place and can get Lazar a job at Area 51, what the hell's going on over at Livermore?
Who the hell knows? That's a good question.
And I'll tell you one more thing. The people who operate this lab, Sandia, those are the same people that are, I'm pretty sure, according to what Lear has told me, constructed all of the underground facilities. Those are the people that build the underground facilities. And Sandia is considered the new Area 51. And there's supposedly an underground train system that connects these bases. I'm sure most of your listeners have heard this before. John Lear confirms this. He swears it's true. And I'm going to tell you something. Whenever Lear says something, it's damn near 90% of the time. If it doesn't feel right to me, it always comes back and slaps me in the face. The moon stuff, he's a big advocate of bases on the moon. Lear knows what he's talking about. He really does. He really strives to provide the truth. And according to Lear, Lazar was offered a job over there at Livermore Labs by Dr. William Teller. And when I asked John, hey, John, what's going on over at Livermore Labs? He can't even tell me.
Wow. You guys, I don't know if you've ever heard this. This is Oppenheimer right here, okay, guys?
Few people laughed. Few people cried. Most people were silent. I remembered the line from the Hindu scripture, the Bhagavad Gita. Vishnu is trying to persuade the prince that he should do his duty.
He's got a creepy look in his eyes.
To impress him, takes on his multi-armed form and says, now I am become death, the destroyer of worlds. I suppose we all thought that one way or another.
Five.
No, you got to see the look in this guy's face when he's saying that, man. You've seen that before, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That deep, scary.
Like he was numb to it.
You can hear the evil. I want to say evil in his tone. I'm imagining the bomb going off, like them watching it. They had never seen anything like that before.
Right, yeah. If you look in his eyes, he's looking at the ground like it's kind of, I don't know if you guys have ever witnessed something so freaking crazy that you're numb to it. That's what he looked like. Like he was just numb. You know, like I've become death, destroyer of worlds. Like he's telling himself right there that he killed millions of people in the blink of an eye. And his He is not shedding a tear. He's not blinking. He's not doing anything. It's like he can't believe. It's either he can't believe it or he was possessed.
It's probably a little bit of both.
I've dropped the 5 phone lines, so if any of you guys want to call in, it's the phone number is 501-777-5631. I didn't see the sense in paying for 5 phone lines and just holding them, you know, right now. So, but I've got one open, and that's the number if you want to call in. And there's James Cruz. What's up, buddy? Glad you made it. James is cool. He talks about the electric universe and stuff. But, you know, we're almost into 3 hours. I don't think I've ever done a 3-hour show, Joe. I mean, what's the longest you've ever just sat and talked about this stuff with somebody, do you think?
Well, when I first met, I'm not sure if you're aware of this. I met John Lear. I was invited to his house. We sat and talked about this stuff for hours, man. Probably a good 4 or 5 hours.
Oh, wow.
I learned most of the stuff I'm talking about tonight from Lear.
And you're totally convinced that he's spot on, aren't you? I've
well,
listened to the guy too, man, and
he's he knows highly credible. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Not only do I think he's credible, but if you listen to a great, what's his name here? I'm kind of blanking out here. Command Sergeant Major Robert Dean. Command Sergeant Major Robert Dean. He was a Command Sergeant Major in the United States Army. He had a cosmic top secret clearance. Many of your listeners may not even be aware that exists.
D-E-A-N, right? Robert Dean, D-E-A-N.
Yeah, look him up. Just look up that name. And what's interesting is Google recently added ufologist as a title in their searches.
Yeah, it's in
Robert Dean.
Wikipedia, it says ufologist right next to his name.
Disclosure is happening right now. Robert Dean was a command sergeant major in the U.S. Army. He held a cosmic top secret clearance. They called it they still to this day call it cosmic top secret.
I've never
and
heard
he
that
says,
before, man.
Yeah, it's true.
That's insane.
It is insane. Anyways, he says John Lear, he says he has the highest, the utmost respect for him. That what John says is coming from multiple sources from the inside, regularly feeding him this information.
Yeah, here it is. It says for the U.S. military personnel and government contractors with contractors, let's just put that in quotations, that work with one or more of the 26 North Atlantic Treaty Organization NATO countries. There are additional security clearances, including CTS or Cosmic Top Secret. This is essentially the same as U.S. Top Secret, but also involves NATO nations. So we're talking about world stuff with that when you're working with other people.
So, Joseph, right now you just read about the Cosmic Top Secret Clearance. Look up on Google right now, define cosmic, and read to me the list of synonyms for the word cosmic. Read it to your listeners.
Relating to the universe or cosmos, especially as distinct from the Earth. Extraterrestrial and synonyms are extraterrestrial, in space, from space, or cosmic bodies. So, I mean, they wouldn't just...
Extraterrestrial.
Yeah, they wouldn't just name it because it's some kind of NATO meeting, you know? They named it that for that reason. That's crazy, man. See, here again, we have a situation where, you know, I am so into spirit science, and I'm just starting to put it together with this, you know, paranormal and UFOlogy and stuff, that I am getting smacked around by stuff that I probably should just know. But I don't. And if I don't know and I research, how many people are running around right now that are just totally unaware of everything I mean, I know there's some that can care less, but how long do you think it is before we're going to see actual spaceships in the air, like as a normal thing, where it's not a UFO anymore?
I'm not sure, Joseph. That may...
A couple hundred years?
There may be a vast conspiracy to prevent that from happening.
I did tell
you. I mean, aren't we seeing this now? I mean, isn't this happening now? It's just most people are staring at their damn phones all day.
Yeah, yeah. And if that's right, you can... What I do every night when I get off the show is I go outside and I look up and I try to see... I'm just look just in case I don't miss something, and I've started learning to do that. But yeah, you're right. I mean, tomorrow when you get up and you go to work, go about your daily business, and you got all these crazy thoughts in your head, just write a little note on your hand to look around to see how many people are actually looking up. And nobody's looking up.
They're looking down.
Yeah, dude, nobody's looking up.
They're staring at what Lori McDonald, the respected hypnotherapist, calls black magic screens.
Yeah, that's pretty true. It is a dark mirror until you hit that button. But man, it's been a long show, Joe. I don't know when are you planning to go live with yours. What's the date again? Do you have a date for the John Lear show that you're planning on?
10 days from today.
Okay. And what day do we have March, that set on?
March 19th. I believe 7 p.m. March you're asking 19th. What day? That would be a Sunday.
Okay. Now, yeah, we might have to figure something out with that, because I think Dave goes on at that time. Did you already set that appointment up with Lear that time?
No, not the exact time. I told him to stay posted on the time.
But we'll figure it out. We're going to make it happen one way or the other. I can't wait to hear it. Now, are you planning on doing like an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours? Do you know yet?
So it's likely to be 1 hour with Lear on the phone, but he's going to try for 2 hours. We're going to try for 2 hours.
James Cruz asks, have you guys not noticed the super bright star out to the west lately?
Is it the one that appears with a blue color? I may be wrong.
It might be Venus. If I could get up and go look at it, I would, but it might actually be a planet. A lot of times we think those are stars and they're just really bright planets.
Well, here's one for you. A lot of those stars in the skies aren't actually stars. Well, not a lot of them, but some aren't actually stars. They're very well camouflaged spacecraft, just stationary.
I believe that, dude. I have had that experience, so I do believe that. I know that's a fact, man. I mean, MUFON has showed us that. Sheila Aliens has showed us that with a video. I've seen one wheel around like a spotlight. I've also seen a star pretend to be a star and move, and it's almost like when I looked at it, it stopped, and then we was in this stare-out thing, and I looked at it long enough where it started just kind of sliding over and moving again. And, dude, when I saw that, my heart dropped into my stomach. You know what I'm talking about, man? Like when you get in a stare out with a star and I'm sitting there going, move. I know, do something. Like I'm not trying to make it move. And it just kind of barely moves over as if it knows I'm watching it.
It does know. Some of them do know. Some of them have that ability.
Well, man, are you going to do – you're going to do YouTube too, right?
I believe so, Joseph. I believe I'm going to attempt to do that.
Well, like I said, brother, I can't wait. We're starting to plan on doing – and you might be interested in this, but we're planning on doing I think James Cruz and Gordon and a couple other guys, we did it one night and it got me interested in it. It was what's called like a round table show where we have, I don't know, up to four or five people all in the same show. We try not to talk over each other. We do pretty good with it, but it's pretty cool to listen to everybody bounce off their stories off each other. So hopefully you can get in on one of those.
That would be awesome. I have done that with Dave Cruz on Beyond the Strange, and I enjoyed myself. Casper Parks, one of my favorite people to talk with, was on the round table. That was a lot of fun. Dave Cruz was there. Allison Bell was there. But one little interesting story here. I can try to find the emails to prove this to you, Joseph. But Art Bell, you mentioned earlier how he quit, and I wanted to talk about this, but I forgot. You are well aware of how he started getting shot at, correct?
Yeah, he would get shot at, or he would see people on his property. Some people say he was making the story up, but there's definite where he's filed, you know, there's definite documents that show he did, you know, call the sheriff's department, all that and stuff. But I don't know much about it. If you got something about it, that'd be awesome to hear.
Well, let me tell you something here. I'll try to find the emails to show the dates, how close they were. I had been interviewed by, I'm trying to remember what her name was, but she was basically the operator of his phone lines. She took over the show after he left. I was going to be on his show. They had the date scheduled, planned, and everything. No more than a week, less than a week, I believe. I'll send you the emails. It couldn't have been more than 2 weeks after we scheduled this interview. He started getting shot at, and he quit the show.
Wait a minute. You were going to be on his show or another, or a different show?
I was going to be on Art Bell's show, Midnight. What was it? What did he call it? Midnight in the Desert. Midnight in the Desert. I was scheduled to be on that show very shortly after. It wasn't even enough time to be on his show. He started getting shot at, and he left. I will try to find the emails. As a matter of fact, I shouldn't have a problem finding them.
Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Why haven't we been talking about that? That was one of the whole reasons why I started this radio network. Because when that happened to Art Bell, it was almost like I lost a good friend or something. That's how I felt about his show, you know.
I hear you. I feel your pain. I do. To this day, I'll tell you why I don't talk about it, Joseph, because it's a sore subject.
And that's really going to piss me off if someday down the line I find out that another friend of mine didn't get to say his piece on Art Bell's show because of some stupid paranoid government crap or whatever's going on. You know, I wouldn't put it past him. But were you... Yeah, so yeah, you were going to actually speak to Art Bell. See, James is saying Heather Wade in the chat room, but you're talking about
No. He's right. That's her name. That's the lady's name that I was in communication with. That's right. Heather Wade. That's it.
Yeah, she was booking. That was the name for him. Yep.
That's right. Well, that's the name. I'm going to look it up right now in my email, see if I can find it for you, and then you can match the dates up. And you can tell your listeners.
She is now the host of his show.
I found the emails.
I'll be damned.
Okay.
Once again, I tell you guys that I really believe that I'm talking to one of the guys that's maybe not the only one, but one of the guys that's going to crack open this thing, man.
I will send you the emails here in a second. I'm like reading over them.
Now she does, I don't know if you know this, but she does host his show now. Heather does.
Yes. Correct.
That's so crazy, man, to even think about that. I just, there's something more to this for sure. Yeah. Yep. There's definitely something more to this. I mean, it could, at first I thought it might've been just some fanatical fan that was obsessed, some creepy dude, but even the creepy dudes have an agenda. So what would be the agenda to freak out Art Bell and make him quit radio? Just like Gigi was talking about earlier. Scare somebody enough to where they think their life's in danger or their family's life's in danger. And that's all you got to do. Damn. Well, I don't know how I'm gonna do that. I might.
So I'm actually sending you the emails right now. Hold on 1 second here.
Well, I guess that's.
I have the subjects in the email. Okay. The date is November 2nd. That may have been after the shooting, but we were talking between October 30th and November 2nd. Here, I'm sending you the emails right now. Of 2015. Boom. Check your messages, Joe.
I got it here.
We were going to talk about medical marijuana, I believe. I believe that was actually the strict what we were going to talk about, medical cannabis. That was what we were going to talk about. So the date there is November 2nd. That was when she sent the email. I sent the list of topics in October 30th. So it was about a four-week stretch Art Bell gets shot at. Let's look that up right here. I'm sure you're reading the email right now.
Yeah.
Art Bell got shot at October 22nd. So that email is after he got shot at. That was after they canceled on me. That was when she finally replied. And then she says, hold on a second. I think there's one more email in here.
That's crazy.
Take note of those dates and look up what day he started getting shot at. According to my internet, it says he started getting shot at October 22nd.
Yeah, it was November. When he was talking to the first incident, when he was talking to Mikio Kaku, and he said someone's on the property. And that's when
happened. That's right. I think I remember that.
And still went on with the show. That's how much of a soldier he was. That dude would still, no matter what was happening to him in his life, he still went on with the show. But that was the one that really got him. Somebody, you know, scared him and his family and his little girl, and that was enough. And I mean, I don't blame
him. That's right.
You know? So when I was telling you earlier to keep an eye out, you know, I think it's valid. You know, I don't want you to be paranoid or anything like that, because then they get to you. But I don't know. We'll see what happens, won't we?
This is just a really sore subject, because I was really excited to be on that show. Art Bell was like a hero. He was like a hero to me. And then someone starts shooting at him. I don't know if you looked up the days, what day he started getting shot at on Google, but you can look that up. Look at the days we were emailing. He started getting shot at within a couple weeks, which is like right before I was about to go on. It may sound like a long stretch, but it was like right before I was about to go on. Maybe it's a coincidence. Who knows?
Well, I'll tell you what, man. We can end this show on this note. I hope that you have just as much passion about this stuff as that I do, and I can tell you do. Really hope that it would be funny to even see that either somebody on this network can crack the case on that. Because Art Bell is like, yeah, it's still a sore subject to me just because he was one of my heroes, you know, but I can't imagine if I was going to be on a show then that happened. Dude, I would be, yeah, I hear you, man. I would be upset for sure. And I'm not saying that it had happened because you were coming on that show, but man, there has been an awful lot of strange coincidences in your life and in your stories here recently. You still with me, Joe?
Yeah, sorry, I was on mute there. I didn't realize I put my microphone on mute. Yeah, there's too many events here, Joseph. There really is. As a matter of fact, I've probably forgotten some of them, but I try to remember these major ones, and that, my friend, is one that is documented.
Well, I think that is a really good note to end the show on. I mean, it's a sad note, but a good note for what's to come for you guys, for Mr. Joe Cerletti. In 10 days, he will be interviewing John Lear. And before we sign off here, why don't you tell everybody, the audience, the world, the podcast listeners, the live listeners, what your intentions are with this show? What is it that you plan to do?
I'm going to turn over some rocks that haven't been turned over yet. Some very sensitive, touchy, super top, cosmic top secret, as we were saying earlier, subjects that haven't been covered before. We're going to delve deeper into the human mind and hypnosis and alien abduction and UFO history. We're going to get people thinking about some major cases. We're going to have damn good music playing while we're at it too.
Right on. That's what matters most, isn't it? Like, you know, Art Bell almost quit over the music a couple of times. People don't think that's important, but the listeners, when they get a break, they want to hear good music too, man. You got to tickle their ears with music and with great stories, and I think you're going to do both, man. I can't wait.
I can't wait either. I'm an honor. It's an honor to be a part of this. I'm ready, and I'm going to tell you what, this interview that's going to be happening in 10 days, they're already sweating over it.
Oh, yeah. And before we sign out to you, when are you going to be on TV again?
Actually, it's going to be that same day, March 19th, 10 p.m. Central. Just set your DVRs on American Heroes Channel, which is the new military channel. Look up American Heroes Channel Finder, and you should be able to find the network and the channel on the internet. And it's at 10 Central. No, I'm sorry. I think 10 Eastern Time, 9 Central, 7 p.m. Pacific on American Heroes Channel, March 19th. How the World Ends, and it's the season finale. And it's called Aliens Attack.
Right on. Well, Joe, it's been awesome having you on the show, man. And I got some questions from the audience that I'm going to ask you after the show. I don't think I can ask them on the show. I got to sign off here. I'm about to get cut off of Spreaker anyways. But, dude, it was a blast talking to you, man. I know we don't do like the real regular normal show, but it's been... It's cool talking to you. Either way, it's been a blast, man. I can't wait to hear your show.
Thank you, Joseph. I had a great time, and everybody have a great evening.
All right, guys. That was Joe Cerletti. Tomorrow night, we're going to have Chad Meek. Next week, Sebastian Martin. And the week after that, we're going to have David Griffin. Thanks for listening. We'll see you guys tomorrow night.